The tradition of the Christian church dating back all the way into the early days and weeks after Christ rose from the grave was to greet each other with the phrase, "He is risen," and the response, "He is risen indeed." And so let's greet one another and welcome one another that way here today. He is risen. Amen. Praise God. We rejoice in his life today and the celebration of the victory that he won for you and me over death when he rose from the grave. That gives us a hope that does not fail and that does not disappoint. And you're going to hear a lot about that here through this service. We're so glad you're here today. Welcome to this service here at St. Paul's in Jesus' name. I'm excited for what God has for each and every one of us through his word, and especially as we focus on the victory that he won for us when he rose from the tomb that beautiful Easter morning so many years ago. We have a kind of a special service planned for you. It's a little bit simpler than what we normally do here, and it's filled with lots of music, and I would encourage you and invite you to just follow along, take part as you are able, and enjoy this time here together as the body of Christ, specifically though with your risen living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to just highlight a few brief announcements for you as we begin here this morning. You can see if you have your bulletins out in the insert there, it's a pretty full week here at St. Paul's with our regular weekly schedule through the week. I'll just highlight a few things. We are getting started with Bible study again now after the Lenten season. We're in the book of Psalms. It's usually a good time after Easter. If you hadn't been attending, I would encourage you to, this is a good time to start again and come back. We're working through the book of Psalms, like I said. That's at 6:30 on Wednesday night. We have youth group and kids club going again there also, and then you can see next Sunday, the church calendar, the church schedule doesn't stop after Easter, even though this is what we've been building up to for so many weeks now. We have new member Sunday next week, and then 2 weeks from now already is Confirmation Sunday, and so some special things happening there. There is a next Sunday also a young adult event. We're doing a service project out at Wilderness Bible Camp, and if that's something that you'd be interested in doing, I did send an invitation out on Facebook the other day. If you did not get that but would like to be involved, please contact me. Please talk to me after the service, and I can get you the information for that. Also, we are meeting here at 3 o'clock at the church to head out there. For the youth, our Fajocha brochures for their summer camp, for the summer camps, are out on the table in the hallway, so grab one of those. If you are interested in playing softball with our church softball team this summer, that, if you can believe it, starts in a few weeks already, and Aaron Rudebush is going to be managing that this summer, and so you can talk to him if you're interested in playing. If you don't know who Aaron is, you can talk to me, and I can give you his contact information as well. And I think that's all I'm going to mention. There's some other things here, too, for you to look at as you are able. The only other thing I'm going to mention here, too, for us, because of our little different schedule or in order of service, we're going to do a little bit more standing than we're used to. And if you get tired, please don't feel bad one bit about sitting down and so forth, but we're gonna enjoy standing and singing these songs of celebration and victory here together, and so we'll be looking forward to that as well. Are there any other announcements that I missed that need to be made? And if not, then I'm going to ask the choir to come forward as I read for you these verses as a call to worship. From Exodus chapter 15, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him."
Hello. Hey, we're on. Happy Easter, everyone. The angel at the tomb said to the women, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. The front cover of your bulletin is where Jesus said he was going to be crucified and would rise again. And today, of course, we celebrate the fulfillment of that, this glorious message of Easter, that he is risen. And we're thrilled as a choir to be able to share that message with you. We're going to ask you to join us on actually just the refrain of the final verse. And we'll ask you to stand at that point, like Pastor Micah has said. And I will direct you in that, so you don't have to worry about anything. But watch, we're going to put some expression into this, and we might hold some notes. So let's celebrate this glorious, triumphant resurrection of Jesus together today.
Death could not hold him, and the grave could not keep him. Matthew 28, verse 6 says, "He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said."
Christ the Lord is risen today can be found in your hymnals on page 104. It's also going to be on the screen.
Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. Sons of men and angels, say,
is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Please remain standing then as Pastor Fugelberg comes to read our scripture lessons from Exodus 15, the story of the victory after the Exodus when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, and then our beautiful hope in Revelation 21 of heaven.
First reading is from Exodus, the 15th chapter. We're reading the first 11 verses. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea. And his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? And then the epistle from Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself shall be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Amen.
I mentioned earlier that this faith that we have is the same faith that the early Christians had, the ones who witnessed the resurrection. And we're going to say a confession of faith now from 1 Corinthians 15. You'll find it in your bulletins, also on the screen. And I would encourage and invite you to follow along and to say this with me as we confess the same faith that they had when Jesus rose from the grave. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." Here ends our reading. You may be seated. This time, I will call on the ushers to wait upon us. Lord, all we have from you is a gift, and today we are rejoicing in your great goodness to us, that you give us such good things. You give us life and salvation, forgiveness, peace. I could go on, Father in heaven. We love you, and we thank you for all you do for us. And I pray now for these gifts. I pray, God, that you would use them for your kingdom's work. Help us, oh God, to be faithful stewards and caretakers of all that you give us. We pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. This time we have a children's message, and Marianne Ward, our new associate pastor's wife, is going to be leading the lesson this morning, so I'll ask the kiddos to come on up at this time.
Good morning, children. Do you know what special day it is today?
Easter.
That's right. It is Easter. It's the day we celebrate that wonderful miracle of Jesus being raised from the dead. He was dead in the tomb, but then he came back to life. Hallelujah. He is risen. Do any of you know what this is?
Onion.
An onion? Well, it kind of looks like an onion. What do you think it is? A seed? Anything else? Any other ideas?
A baby Jesus.
A baby Jesus? Yes.
A mouse.
No, I don't like mice. You would never see me holding a mouse. Garlic? You're getting closer. Yes.
A stone.
Bread. Okay, we have a lot of answers, but you know what this is? It's a dried up plant bulb. You put this in the ground. It looks like it's dead, doesn't it? Doesn't look anything pretty. Many people might think that if you put this in the ground, nothing would happen. It is what it's called dormant. It means that it's not dead, but it just isn't growing right now. It would seem like it would just stay in the ground forever, just looking dead, and that would be the end of the story. However, that's not what happens. What takes place if we put this in the ground and water it, it will grow into a beautiful flower, like you see in this picture. Isn't that pretty?
You took a picture of it.
Well, this is a picture that I got at the store when I bought this bulb. Okay, when they put Jesus to death on the cross and then laid him in the tomb, people thought that he was dead forever. He really died, and they knew that dead people normally don't come back to life. After they buried Jesus in the tomb, they went away very sad. But then, on the third day, he came back to life. It was a miracle. He was no longer in the tomb. He rose from the dead. The good news is that even though we can't see him now, we know that he is alive in heaven. I have a dead bulb for each of you to take home today and plant it in the ground. As you care for it and watch it grow and then blossom like this pretty picture, it's a reminder to us of the miracle that Jesus rose from the dead and is alive. You can save this bulb again in the fall and dig it up, put it in a dark place, and you can plant it again next spring. Now, don't be disappointed this first summer if it doesn't blossom. Sometimes it takes more than 1 year, so you have to be patient with it. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that an old and dormant, dead-looking bulb can turn into a living flower. Thank you also for the miracle of Jesus being raised from the dead. Thank you that he is alive and can be a wonderful friend to us. Okay, let's get a bulb. Maybe you'll have to stand up. Stand up and pass them out.
All right, thank you, Marianne and kids. This time, before the message, let's stand again and sing together this beautiful, wonderful, assuring hymn, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives," hymn number 97. Please remain standing as I read for you our sermon text this morning from John chapter 20 and verses 1 through 18. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths laying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. Father in heaven, these are your words. They are magnificent words of good news that describe your son's resurrection. And I pray, God, that these precious words today would be heard by our ears and by our hearts. May we, with John, believe in the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you just a bit of Scottish and English history as we begin this morning. If you start a study of Scottish and English kings and queens in history, it doesn't take very long to see that they could build any number of TV dramas, soap operas, and murder mysteries from that history. And many TV series have been made on some of these episodes. One such story revolves around Mary, Queen of Scots. She was the Queen of Scotland from 1542 to 1567. She married her first cousin, Lord Darnley, and soon after, Mary became pregnant. However, she didn't much care for her husband, whom she suspected was in it just for the throne, and so she refused to legally put him in line to the throne should she die childless. Lord Darnley didn't like that very much, and he grew suspicious of Mary's close relationship with her private secretary, David Rizzio. He had been very jealous of their relationship. It was rumored that Rizzio may have actually fathered the child that Mary was carrying. So one night, a couple of Lord Darnley's friends rushed Rizzio in the presence of the queen and stabbed him 56 times, killing him. Everybody believed that Lord Darnley was behind it, but it was never proven. Mary's response has been documented as this quote, "No more tears now, I will think upon revenge." A few months later, she gave birth to her son James, who, by the way, became the James of the King James Version of the Bible. And 8 months after James's birth, Lord Darnley was found murdered while Mary was out of town. Lots of people thought Mary had to have arranged the murder together with another suspected lover. Those two people left town together, and not long after that were then formally charged with Darnley's murder. Mary's trial was held in England. They weren't able to conclusively affirm that she had a role in the murder, and so she was kept in captivity until she was convicted of treason for a plot to assassinate the English queen, Elizabeth, and Mary then was executed after that. I share that story with you because it's a good example of a mess. Life in this world is a mess. And that didn't start in the 1500s. The Bible is filled with messy stories. You don't have to look any further than the names found in the genealogy of Jesus and all the way back to Adam and Eve. And I don't think anyone here would dispute the fact that it hasn't changed since. Life today is still messy. Another word for messy is sin. Now, not every mess in this world is directly caused by one individual and particular sin, but every mess is directly the result of the brokenness that was brought into the world by sin. Very simply, this world is not as it was created to be. It's broken. And that's a very general and wide-ranging statement, but it becomes very personal when you consider the ways that you have felt brokenness in your life. What is it that causes you pain? Our bodies are broken because of sin. That's why we die. If there wasn't sin in the world, we would never die. So we have physical pain, but pain is much more than physical. Broken relationships, hurt feelings, sin in your life. Mary, Queen of Scots, felt pain as she watched her close friend murdered before her eyes. And we don't know all the brokenness and sin that there was in all of that, but her reaction, her statement is revealing. What's the solution to pain? Mary's reaction is a common one. Hardness, bitterness, and revenge. And even if her solution to tears, she said. Her solution to tears was revenge. And even if we're not talking murder, when we get hurt, what's our natural reaction? We defend ourselves. We build various barricades or shells to hide behind. We get back at someone. We seek revenge. You hurt me, now I hurt you. This is so much more common in our lives than we think. Anytime we make excuses or refuse to accept blame or keep score of wrongs committed in our relationships. In John chapter 20, we find another Mary in history, Mary Magdalene this time. She was hurting too. She and the others close to Jesus witnessed the gruesome torture and murder of their Lord just a few days previous. Imagine with me the grief and sorrow and despair of that Friday night after they witnessed that. Saturday. And now Sunday morning is here, and grief-stricken Mary is on her way to the tomb. It's early, very early. It's still dark out, it says. And she's on her way to tend to her Lord's dead body. It's hard for you and I to imagine the grief and pain of Mary and the other followers of Jesus at that time, because we are living in light of the resurrection. Paul says that if there is no resurrection, then this is all for nothing, and we are of all people most to be pitied. At this time, in Mary's mind, prior to the resurrection, there was no resurrection for her. This was all for nothing. I think of the old idiom, the darkest hour is just before dawn. This was the darkest hour. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, was dead in a tomb. Mary gets to the tomb and she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. There's something different happening here. My dear friends, whatever your pain is, there is no darkness that Jesus does not know. There is no hopeless corner that you may find yourself buried in that the light of resurrection can't penetrate. In the darkest of the night, the stone was rolled away. And a new dawn brilliantly rose. Mary didn't see that yet. She ran back, it says, distressed to the disciples. She found Peter and John, who then ran back to the tomb. There's a lot of running going on here, okay? They enter the tomb, and John gives a detail here for us in verse 7. The face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, okay, it's speculated that it may have been wrapped this way around his head to keep his mouth, his jaw shut. It probably wasn't the Shroud of Turin, if you're familiar with that, okay? But John says here, that face cloth was folded up in a place by itself. Maybe an insignificant detail, but think about this. Robbers and thieves with malicious intent don't stop to neatly fold a piece of linen. Something very peaceful and purposeful happened with that piece of cloth. John says here that he stepped into the tomb and he saw that. And he believed. as unfathomable and impossible as it was, nothing is impossible with God. Mary hadn't got there yet with, in her mind, her heart. Peter and John took off again, and now Mary is back there again, still weeping. And in the midst of her tears, she stoops in to look again, and now there are two angels sitting there. And they ask her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Her reply is essentially that she has been wronged. The body of her loved one has been wronged. This whole thing has been awful, and now they can't even leave his body alone after he's dead. It's salt on an open wound for her. It's only more hurt. There's no help or healing, and she turns around, and there's a man there who asks the same question, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I'll take care of him." And Jesus says to her, "Mary, here at the empty tomb, Jesus presents us with the final, ultimate, only answer and solution to our pain, to your shortcoming, to our sin. The solution is himself." Mary, Queen of Scots, said that revenge would stop her tears. Like I said earlier, we build up these defense mechanisms to try to avoid tears. We make excuses. We deflect blame. We seek revenge. None of these ways brings true healing and light and rest. People twist scripture to make it say something else so that they don't have to deal with their sin. Or even if it's just simple brokenness in the world, people can twist scripture. Have you ever heard someone say, for example, after a tragic accident, "Well, God will just work it out for good"? Have you heard that? Which is true, okay? But it doesn't always happen in ways that we want it to or ways that we understand. And the context is pointing in that verse where it says that God works all things together for good. The context is pointing directly to our salvation and God's faithful love and to heaven, which is ours in Christ, no matter what this broken world does to us. The solution to Mary's weeping and to your weeping is the resurrected Jesus. And frankly, it's the same today for us. You see, the resurrected Jesus means that the final consequence of the brokenness and pain and sin of this world has lost. Death is not the end. Death is defeated. Death has lost its sting. Jesus went toe-to-toe with death, and he came out of that tomb victorious. Please follow me with this if I've lost you today. The resurrected Jesus knows the way through the valley of the shadow of death. And he knows you. He knows you by name, just as he knew Mary by name. That's how he cares for you. He knows your name. When Jesus spoke Mary's name, that's when she recognized him. That's when she saw him finally, and it took all fear away. Jesus knows your name. In John 10, it says that the gatekeeper opens to the good shepherd, to Jesus, and that the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out, that he brings out all his own. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him. They know his voice. This is the power of the resurrection. By faith in Christ Jesus, you are made his child, his sheep, and he leads you and you follow because he's alive and because he cares. He loves you. He knows your name and he calls you to follow him, and he knows the way through death even unto eternal life Why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? This world of sin and pain and hurt no longer has dominion and rule over us in Christ and in the power of His resurrection. When someone hurts you, you don't need to seek revenge, because there's nothing that man can do to you that can separate you from Christ's love. If you have His love that never dies because He rose from the grave, if that's your identity, there's nothing that anyone can do to take that away that you would have to avenge. When your sin weighs you down, don't hide it or try to redefine it or avoid hurt and shame. The shame and guilt of it only comes back worse. Instead, confess it. Confess it to the God who knows you, the God who has compassion on you, compassion that forgives, compassion that bore sin's consequence to make you new. When the brokenness of this world assaults you, in so many ways nowadays, physically and otherwise, find hope in the one who promises a future without pain. See, we have to be clear here. There still is weeping today, isn't there? For so many reasons, we weep. We must remember that we are still in this broken world with an old nature that wages war against us. And as long as we're here, there's still going to be pain. But what the resurrection does, it promises us a future without it. The resurrection gives us hope for something better than this. That's how Peter says it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one who witnessed, who was there that morning. Blessed be that God and Father who has caused us to be born again to a living hope. A living hope. Where does that come from? He says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our hope, your hope, is a living, eternal hope because of the resurrection. The empty tomb gives you hope. Hope of such quality that we can even find joy and peace in the midst of brokenness and pain. When you weep over sin, when you weep over hurt or pain or brokenness, there are lots of places to look for comfort and healing. Brothers and sisters, find that comfort and peace only in the resurrected Jesus who calls you by name. And wait for Him in hope, when He will call your name to raise us all up to live eternally with Him in heaven. Listen to these words in Revelation 5. Oh, how we look forward to this day. From Revelation 5, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. John writes, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads and myriads and thousands and thousands. I thought you guys had great voices this morning. That's nothing compared to thousands upon thousands and myriads upon myriads in heaven singing together with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, every creature under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, Jesus Christ, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. And it says they fell down and worshiped. Let's worship some more. We won't fall down, but we'll stand. Let's sing our last hymn, Because He Lives, hymn number 545. Stand with me, please. It's humbling, Lord, to know that you, the God of the universe, the God who breathes stars into existence, would care about me, would care about us. And yet that's exactly the love that you have for us. That's exactly the love that you demonstrated when you sent your Son to this earth to die a horrible, humiliating, painful death. The death that we deserved. And it's the love that you have bestowed upon us that caused him, that drove him to finish that work. And God, it's your great love that brought him back to life, that conquered death. God, I think of these verses, that perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. Lord, we see that with Mary, that beautiful Easter Sunday morning, where all fear was wiped away. God, for those who weep, I pray, God, that you would help us to see you, to see the living Jesus Christ as the one who has made us well, the one who promises to give us heaven itself. Because you live, we can face tomorrow. Oh, what hope and joy there is in you because of your victory over death. I pray for each person here. I thank you for them. And God, I pray that you would bless them and their families this Easter weekend. I pray for those who couldn't be here today too, for whatever reason, watch and protect and keep them safe, we ask. I pray for so many who are traveling here or from here, God. I just pray that everyone would stay safe. I pray for those who are hurting today. Bring comfort and healing where that is needed. Thank you, God, for this time of celebration. Hear us now as we pray together the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, as a benediction, let me read one more time these words from Revelation chapter 5. Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.